I believe that we are in a season of God calling. I believe we're on the eve of the return of Christ and the seven-year tribulation period. I believe that it's very important that we're in touch with the time period that we're in. There's been different seasons over the last number of years. And I think Scripture points that out. But there are things then that are typical of the last days and significant things that indicate that we would know the time and season we were in. Some want to be real vague and act like the return of the Lord and the tribulation hour is so vague and unclear in Scripture. How could you know? It says no man will know the day or the hour. No man will know the specific time. Beware of people who give a day and hour to the return of the Lord. But it says we would know the season. We look at the sky and we recognize that there's a storm coming. We look at the trees budding and the grass growing and we recognize spring is here. And the Scripture is very, very clear that we are to know the season. In fact, it says that we're not to be ignorant of the seasons. And I believe that we live in the, I personally believe that we are at the end of the Laodicean church age. Jesus came, shed his blood on the cross, died and rose again for our sins, brought salvation. Now is the day of salvation. And the call has been to come to Christ in the church age. And I believe the church age is in seasons, and I believe the first couple chapters of Revelation illustrate that. And I believe that we are at the close of the Laodicean church age, and I believe we're at the time of the gleaning of the fields of harvest, so to speak. There have been harvest times when lots and lots of people came to Christ, and I believe that we are in this time of gleaning the corners, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. And I believe that our ministry, specifically in this area, God assigns people different areas, different places at different times for different things, I believe. And I believe with all of my heart, and I believe the reason for the year and a half off to pray was to prepare for our season that we're now entering in. And I believe it's a time of strong calling. Last week I preached with a dove on my shoulder, and don't want to wear that out. Was tempted to wear that again today because I think that it reminds us of God's Spirit. And visually we see a dove before he descended on Jesus in the form of a dove. We're in the time when the merciful voice of the Lord is calling. The gracious, tender voice of the Lord is calling. And I believe that it's the time when those that have fallen by the wayside, the corners of the fields, the highways and hedges people, the people that have been in trouble, left go, have ended up with broken lives, I believe the call is very, very strong. I feel that in my heart. I cannot put into words to you how strongly I feel that. That there is a strong call right now, more than ever before. Maybe I shouldn't say more than ever before, but I believe it's consistent with Scripture that there's an urgency as we get close to the coming of Christ. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him, it says in Matthew 25. And I believe that there is a strong call of God's Spirit to bring people to himself, for we're nearing a dark time in our lives. I don't know how observant you are of what's going on in our country. And some people are so fed up with the media and all, and I understand that you know, they kind of ignore what's going on. But there are some incredible things happening around the world in our country. And there are some new spirits, evil spirits at work stirring. I don't know if you see it in America, but we're heading for a revolution. If you can't see that, you get the blinders off. We're headed for a revolution. There is a dividing coming in the country, I believe, personally, not here to discuss all the views that might be present under our roof, and there's room for some differences. There's some foundational things I think we just need to plain be able to see. But there's room for some differences in some areas. But I think some of the things that are currently happening, that we're going to see a new level of lawlessness like we've not seen before. I think you're going to see an exit of law enforcement officers who are thinking, I don't want any part of things. I don't And I think that we're going to, it says, the verse that kept coming to me as I was watching what was going on in Baltimore this week, the verse that kept coming to me, I hadn't been reading there, has to be the Spirit of God out of nowhere. The verse began coming to me, lawlessness will abound. Lawlessness will abound because people are afraid. Everybody's so happy. Everybody's out to blame someone else. And everybody's running scared to draw any lines. Everybody's scared to draw borders and say, don't cross here, so count me out. Count me out, people are going to say. And I think we're going to see a big exit of law enforcement officers in the United States in the next few months. And as people are afraid to take a stand, they're afraid to call it. Right? If anyone is abusive and intentionally injures somebody, there needs to be penalty for that. We believe in justice. That's the basis of Scripture. God is the author of justice. But if you can't see some of the trends of lawlessness, it says in Revelation that brother will turn on brother and there's going to be mass chaos. You can't see that coming? We are headed for mass chaos. And people don't realize the condition our country is. And there's a spiritual thing behind it's the thing. There's a stirring. There's a spiritual thing behind it. Spirit of Antichrist. We read in 1 John about the spirit of Antichrist. Prior to the actual appearance of the Antichrist, who will be an individual actually possessed and run by the devil. It says there will be a spirit of Antichrist. And I believe that that is stirring and boiling around the world and certainly in our country. And we're in some interesting times. But in the Church of Jesus Christ, these are some exciting times. Because I believe that as we're coming to the close of the Laodicean church age, that God is calling people in a stronger way than ever before. Behold, I stand at the door and knock is a verse just tying on to last week. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. Excuse me. Acts 2:21. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I want to encourage you to answer the call. The precious Holy Spirit is calling. No man can come to God unless the Spirit draws him. What is that uncomfortable feeling in church when the minister is talking or maybe a song is being sung and that stirring inside, it's God's Spirit calling you. Don't ignore that call. You can callous over and ignore that call, and then you get to where you are deaf to the voice of the Holy Spirit. I had shared on various occasions the story of my grandfather, Jesse Robbins, who had for years put off the Lord and been abusive to my grandmother as she wanted to attend revival services in Fort Wayne, and she would walk 2 or 3 miles in the cold and take my dad, little Jack, to revival, not knowing she was raising an evangelist and a missionary. And how that daddy was very, or Grandpa Jess was very, very abusive, and how he ignored the voice of the Lord, and in his later years came up with a terminal disease and so badly wanted to come to Christ, and came to my dad, his son, and said, Jack, what do? I'm not hearing the Lord. I'm not hearing the Lord. I've ignored him for years, and I'm not hearing the Lord, and no man can come to God unless the Spirit draws him. The drawing of the Spirit is a wonderful thing. That pull that you feel in a church service is an awesome and incredible thing. And a number of people joined together and began praying that God would speak to Grandpa Jess again. And we saw a time when that happened. Grandpa became so desperate that he actually crawled on his hands and knees. He knew he was dying. He crawled on his hands and knees to the altar at one point. He wanted so badly to receive the Lord into his heart. And we saw him become a Christian before he died. But the value of the call of the Holy Spirit, and we're in a time and a season of God calling. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I believe then that, and I want to say some things this morning specifically to those of you in this ministry. There's some things that apply in a more general sense to the world around us and our culture. But there's some things I'm going to say specifically to this group this morning that I feel God's thumb in my back to say today. I want to say that there's also not just a season of calling and calling the broken and those from the corners of the fields and those that would appear to be outcasts and those that have seemed to have destroyed their lives. There's a strong call. God wants them because he's putting together an army. Listen, he's putting together an army. Listen, he's putting together an army because he wants to empower them. I believe that we have people, and this is specifically, I believe, for you this morning that God would have me say. I believe I have people in the sound of my voice, and last week and the week before, because we have a different mix, it seems, every week. I believe people in the sound of my voice who have been through incredible brokenness, he wants you to answer the call because we're also entering a season of empowerment. And some of you that have made horrendous mistakes, and we all have made our horrendous mistakes, but some of you that live with that every day that have made horrendous mistakes, there's a new season of empowerment coming for the broken when God will raise up an army that is fresh and new and deeply devoted to the Lord, for he who is forgiven much loveth much. And I cry sometimes when I sing, as I look out and I make eye contact just briefly with people and realize things they've come out of and what God wants to do in their lives as he wants to empower us, because I believe we are coming to a season of empowerment. And if I may repeat this verse that God won't let me forget and keeps bringing to my mind, Joel chapter 2, 28 says, I will pour out my spirit. And it's repeated again in Acts chapter 2 in the last days. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see vision. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And then he goes on to say, and then I'll show wonders in heaven, entering into the tribulation hour. Blood, fire, billows of smoke. The sun will be darkened. That matches with Matthew 24 in the book of Revelation. And the moon turned to blood before that great notable day of the Lord. And anyone that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I believe that just in the final days of the Laodicean church age, just before the coming of the tribulation hour, there is going to be a season of empowerment for those of you that answer the call. And I want to say that very specifically to you here at 10 CMO. I believe that God has brought a lot of people in who have had horribly broken pasts. Yes, you need to find healing, and you're in that process, and it takes time. But God wants to take you to another level that you can't imagine. He didn't just give me that verse just for me. On the other side of that wall in the coffee house, as you enter the sanctuary, I have the first verse God gave me when I took the year off, and he said, I'm opening a new season. And that verse says, the former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to your mind, but you will rejoice in what I create. And God wants to create something new in you. I'm talking individually. He wants to create something new in you to develop you. And I believe there are young Elijahs among us. And I believe that there are young Marys among us who are devoted and will stick by Jesus to the end. I believe they are among us, and I believe they are fueled by the fact that he who is forgiven much loveth much. And out of brokenness, God wants to bring empowerment. Does that make sense to you? That's the principle of the cross. Out of brokenness, he wants. We would step forward in our worldly point of view, in business thinking, unfortunately, that's infiltrated the church. We would step forward and think, oh, let's fill out applications and see who is the most qualified to do these things. He doesn't do it that way. He calls you and then he qualifies you. And he takes the people that have the most brokenness in them because they have a passion. You know who will die for Jesus in the tribulation? People that have the passion because they're so appreciative. And God wants to bring an empowerment. And God keeps bringing me back to this verse in Joel that is repeated in the book of Acts, that I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Now, what is the key to that empowerment? What is the key to that? You say, Pastor, and I can see some of your expressions as I'm talking about. That taps something within us. We want to go there. The key, my friends, is a very, very simple thing, and it's coming to a place of complete surrender to the Lord. Coming to a place of complete surrender to the Lord. Salvation comes at repentance. Transformation comes from surrender. You with me? And unfortunately, churches are packed with people that have come the first step and they've accepted forgiveness for their sins. But when it comes to God asking them to come to a place of complete surrender of their will, they're not ready to do that. And you can chase your tail for years and years and years. And I believe churches are full this morning of people who have never come to a place of surrender because the empowerment is given. No, it's not a merit system. It's not a spiritual report card. But God has to be true to who he is. And we have to come to a place of complete surrender before we can have the empowerment. Does that make sense? We have to come to a place of yieldedness. When Jesus Christ himself in the flesh, the Son of God, God in a man, incarnate, in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he say? He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood and said, if possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And it's in surrender. I'm talking about total and complete sellout of surrender. It's in that place that the empowerment comes. And I believe that there are many here who want to go that place. And it is a process as God whittles away and speaks to us about the things going on in the flesh. Don't make it harder than it is, but it's a daily process. As God brings things to your mind, give them over. As God brings things to your mind, bring them over. Give them over. He'll walk you along the path of life. And maybe it's my personal wants. Maybe it's my selfishness. Maybe it's my home. Maybe it's my vocation. Maybe it's something I thought I was going to do that now he's asking me to give up. Maybe it's something I've been practicing. I don't know all those things, nor do I try to dictate that. But I know that each thing God brings in your life, we need to come to a place of full and complete surrender. And when we do that, there is an empowerment that comes. In Genesis chapter 32, and in the mentoring group, we'll be looking at this probably a few weeks down the road. We're looking at David right now. But I want to talk some in the mentoring group about Jacob. In Jacob's experience in Genesis chapter 32, an incredible story, where Jacob wrestles with the angel. And I believe he was wrestling with Jesus that night, because it refers in some translations at first to it being an angel of the Lord, but then when it was over, he said, I saw the Lord. Regardless of that, he had a divine encounter that night. And he was wrestling, and it was a long wrestling match. Even the Son of God, let me jump back and repeat that. Even the Son of God, Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweat as it were great drops of blood. It is a wrestling thing to come to a place of giving over and surrender. It is a wrestling match. And Jacob was wrestling with God through the hours of the night. And the angel, I'll say the angel, for that's how it words it in the King James at first, said to him, what is your name? What is your name? That place where we cough it up, folks. We cough up what we are and we say, here's what I am. And they wrestled through the night, and it was a difficult wrestling match. And as the hours went on, what is your name? What is your name? And finally, Jacob said, my name is Deceiver. Because that's what Jacob means. My name is Deceiver. And the minute he said, my name is Deceiver, and surrendered in the match, not, I won't say my name. You're not going to whip me. No, I surrender. You're not wrestling me down on my issues. I'll do it my way. He said, okay, I'm the Deceiver. And the minute that happened, a transformation took place. And the angel said, the Lord said to him, you will no longer be Jacob the deceiver, but you will be Israel the prince. And going from a deceiver to a prince is found in saying our name. And there's a lot of us need to say our name. I'm Susie the betrayer. I'm Max the liar. I'm on it goes. I'm this. And when we say our name and when we submit to the wrestling of the Lord, did you notice from then on Jacob limped? And many said he limped the rest of his life, because the wrestling match keeps you humble. And it brings you to a place where you're broken before God. And it says after the wrestling match, Jacob limped. And there was a change within his hip. And it was a reminder of that wrestling match. And God wants to bring us to a place of surrender. Now, why am I selling that so hard? Poor way to say it. Why am I selling that so hard? Because, my friend, It's in the time of surrender and submission that the dove, the precious Holy Spirit, then begins to direct all that we do and empower us. It's after the yes in the wrestling match that the dove, the precious Holy Spirit, begins to empower us and direct all that we do. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, you know if you've been with me very many years, if some of you have many, one of my favorite verses is John 3:8. The wind, this is the Old English, I like that. I was taught the King James as a child when I was growing up, and so I get tongue-tied sometimes if I'm reading from the NIV because my memory is the King James, because that's what Mom taught us in Scripture. But the King James says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth. You hear the sound thereof. You know not whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone's born of the Spirit of God." What that's simply saying is the wind, the rushing mighty wind in the book of Acts, the filling of the people there, the 120 in the upper room with the Holy Spirit, the rushing mighty wind. Jesus, it says, breathed on his disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The wind blows where it wants to. We don't know as we get up in the morning, what's the wind direction? Hunting season, I'm always checking my phone to see what the wind direction is. The wind blows where it wants to, and we hear the sound thereof. But we don't know where it comes from or where it's going. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. When we've gone the route of the wrestling match, and when we've said our name, and we've come to a place of surrender, and it is a process. Jacob wrestled all night with the angel. Some of us are more strong-willed than others. It's a process. But when he gave in to the Lord and turned over his complete being, remember I said last week the strongest force I believe there is the human will. And Jesus said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." When we come to a place, oh, we've answered the call, we've received salvation, but now he's calling us to surrender because he wants to bring us into a season of empowerment. And in that season of empowerment is when we'll see God's Spirit working in our life in incredible ways. I thought it was interesting the way that Pastor Tony Winters, who's been a friend of mine for years, we first met and shared a funeral together probably 15, 20 years ago. Pastor of the Nazarene Church in Peru and is having Brady Correll's funeral. And I thought it was awesome how the wind of the Spirit sent him to Brady's home with his family at 2 o'clock, I believe it was. Is that right, Allie? It's around 2 o'clock. And I believe Brady died when he was there, didn't he? That was my understanding. The wind of the Spirit. He had been Brady's pastor for years. Shows up right at the right time, the direction of the Holy Spirit. The wind blows where it wants to, and you hear the sound thereof. You know not whence it cometh or whither it goes. So it's everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. I want to be yielded to the Lord. So in these last days, stay with me. I want to be yielded to the Lord. So in these last days, as we enter the difficult times, I'm led by the wind of the Spirit. Things are getting too complex, folks. We're not smart enough to know how to do this. Anybody agree with that? Things are getting too complex. We're not smart enough to know how to approach this thing. We have to have the wind of the Spirit. But the empowerment of the Spirit comes through surrender. And I think there's a lot of people that have been in church all of their life, and they talk about the day they were saved, or maybe the day they quit this or quit this and started and turned over a new leaf, and that's all well and good. I'm not making light of that. Those are some awesome stories. But there's another level, folks. There's another level, and that is of opening our heart of surrender. And I believe in this ministry, God wants to take some of the most broken that have come, and he wants to empower them and use them by his Holy Spirit. I want to share something from my book. Don't refer and read much from this. In fact, it's been 10 years now. It almost seems like when I glance through it looking for something that I am reading about somebody else. I had a chapter section entitled God's Scented Insight. While waiting anxiously to be taken to surgery, I was going down to have a port. I had a port here a Hickman, after the doctor that came up with it, hose right in here that went directly to my heart when I had leukemia. Hickman, they also put a port here for a while, right here in my neck, and needed to put me on a apheresis machine. Apheresis machine, they take the blood out of your body and actually spin it and extract some white cells. They said my white count was 137,000, and they said they could not start chemo unless they got it down to at least 70,000 to 80,000, which is very high. But they had to, I don't understand all that medically, but they had to do that. And so they had to put a port in my neck. And while I was anxiously waiting, I'm going to actually read this, to be taken to surgery, Tony Winters walked into my room. Tony pastors a neighboring church in our area and is a respected minister in our community. I didn't know Tony well at the time. We had done a funeral together. I believe it was for Sylvia Willis. We were just getting acquainted at that point. This was 10 years ago. Tony pastored a neighboring church in our area and is a respected minister in our community. I didn't know Tony well. We had never developed anything more than a casual friendship, and we had shared a funeral, officiating responsibilities. Indianapolis is 2 hours away from our community, so I was more than surprised to see him. I remember this very vividly. I was laying there waiting to go down and have this port put in my neck, and I was pretty nervous about it. Everything was happening so fast. I've had a lot of people ask me, how did you feel those days? I just felt stunned, and just to be honest. I thought I had a bad blood infection. And when they told me I had AML and that there was only 20% chance of living with a bone marrow transplant, and then they're going to do this and do that, and it was obviously they were hurrying and they couldn't get my white count down. And I, to be honest, I was kind of like when you get thrown from a horse and land on the ground, stand up and go, where's the horse? What was I doing? You know, that's kind of how I felt. I just felt kind of snake bit, so to speak. I think Pam and I both felt that way during that time. But Indianapolis is 2 hours away from our community, and I was surprised to see him. What surprised me even more was the manner in which he came into the room. In past encounters, Tony, at least toward me, had always seemed somewhat of a mild-mannered man. He was never forward with me or aggressive in talking to me. He always approached me in a soft tone of voice. But as he came to my bedside with a small bottle of anointing oil, his manner was more forward and focused, as though he was on a mission of some kind. And as he spoke to me, I realized that this was the case. In his South African accent, he said, Tom, and I vividly remember this, God sent me here today. When I got up this morning, God spoke to me and said, go to Indianapolis and tell Tom Robbins I'm not finished with him yet. The wind. If Tony was here, he's a humble man, he would say, I was just sleeping. I was just going about my day. Pastor's small church for years, just a small flock of people, sometimes 40, 50 in attendance. God uses ordinary people who have surrendered themselves to him. This is what we've got to have as we move into the future. We're entering days that are going to be chaotic. Things are going to be upside down. And if you try to figure it out, you're going to fry your brains. Don't try to figure it out. That's a trick of the devil. What is going on? It's demonic in nature. I have a police officer I have several that I pray for regularly and cover them, that God will cover them. And I often cry when I say it, and I take my hands in my walk and I say, Lord, cover them. Cover them with your presence. Not easy in our world to be a Christian police officer, and we know some. We're fortunate to know that. I want to be led of the Spirit. We're entering a time. Don't try to figure out what's going on. It's demonic in nature. The Lord is not the author of confusion, but the devil is. And things that the enemy stirs are confusing. They're frustrating. They're like, what is going on? These are days we need to be Spirit directed. Does that make sense? Lord, I don't know what to do. I've said that over and over. I got a situation right now I'm praying about this weekend. I have somebody waiting on Monday. that needs an answer to a crucial life-changing situation. And they said, I need your input. And I'm trusting you. I'll make a decision too. I'm not trying to hand it to you, but I need your input. And they do. They need somebody's input. And I woke up in the night and I said, Lord, through your spirit, tell me the advice to give. It's going to affect a whole family. I don't know. I'm not smart enough to know those things. But I'm going to tell you, this thing of walking in the Spirit of God will begin doing things in your life that you won't have to read any books. You won't have to go back and read accounts in the Scripture. You'll know in your own knower that God is using you. And God sent Tony that morning. As he spoke to me, I realized that this was the case. In his South African accent, he said, Tom, God sent me here today. When I got up this morning, God spoke to me and said, go to Indianapolis and tell Tom Robbins I'm not finished with him yet. Now, I know you're waiting. They're waiting for you in surgery, and I'm going to pray for you. And he began to pray and opened the bottle of anointing oil and anointed me. He prayed a gentle but powerful prayer, asking God to touch me and to help me with the immediate surgery and to take me through this time of crisis and to raise me up for further ministry. The wind blows where it lists. Got to tell you another cool story. I was on my way to see Kevin Smith in prison. And Pam had told me that Bonnie, Lynn's sister, was in St. Vincent's. And when I heard that, just as clear as anything, on my way to see Kevin, God said, after you leave Kevin's, go to Indianapolis. Just as clear as anything. I just had an impression. I don't know how I knew that. You can say, did you hear an audible voice? I have heard voice in my life. I say that very cautiously. I think some things you need to keep private, but the fact that I'm mentioning it can be one way or another. Sometimes it can be a voice. But I had sometimes something so real, you're not sure if it was a voice or not. It was just so real. You just knew that you knew in your knower. You just knew God impressed you, and you're thinking, did I actually hear that with my ears? I'm not sure. But I knew that I was going to Indianapolis. It was just like an assignment. It just came over me. I knew I was to do it. And it wasn't even a debate of, well, should I change my day? No, I'm going to Indianapolis. So I visited Kevin, and I went to St. Vincent's Hospital. And I have this written. I came across it this week in preparing for the message. I have 9 blessings books. If I can just take a little exit ramp here for a second. That's a good thing to do. You remember the old song, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. It is good to write things down because this week I got looking up this incident to read to get my details straight because I knew I had it written somewhere, and I started going through reading other stuff. If I didn't have Heyday, I got 9 pads. I got 9 legal pads since I started this in 1995 when Alan was in that accident and nearly died. God challenged me in the middle of that accident to record the blessings and how God was working. Because, you know, you can just look at the clouds and the ugly stuff. But when Alan was in the hospital in Lifeline, God said, I want you to write the blessings that I give you through this. And I started writing that, and I've continued it since. I've got 9 legal pads. And I started reading this stuff, and I had forgotten a lot of things that God had done for me. It was incredible. I'm like, oh, yeah, that was the coolest thing. And I forgot all about it. But anyway, just a little exit ramp. No extra charge for some of that stuff. Right, do it your way. That's my way. Do it your way. But there's value in recording. And then when you're down and blue and you're crying some days and things are going rough and things are a mess in your life, start leafing through and God will encourage your heart. David did that. When he faced Goliath, they said, what makes you think you can kill this giant? He said, well, there was a bear and a lion that came after my father's sheep. And I grabbed him by the beard. That'd been cool to see, wouldn't it? I feel like I grabbed him by the beard and smote him. That's cool. The experiences and victories of the past will see you through the present, and God will use that. You can have your own Bible. Don't take that wrong. I don't mean that irreverently. There's one true word of God. But you can kind of have your own accounts. Of what God has done in your life. Okay, back on the freeway. I was going to see Kevin Smith, and as clear as anything, God spoke to me and said, I want you to go see Bonnie, Lynn's sister. And I arrived at the hospital about 5 o'clock, and when I walked in the room, Bonnie just immediately froze and looked at me and said, what are you doing here? And I said, well, the Lord sent me here. And she just got all emotional, and she said, I'm so afraid. She said, we were just told in 10 minutes, our doctor's coming in to give me some news that I think's probably going to be difficult to hear. I said, really? And she said, plus we don't know our doctor very well, and I'm just really nervous. I'm so glad you're here. And she just was kind of overtaken with emotions. And so I sat down on the bed, and in about 10 minutes, in through the room door came a doctor. And guess who it was? Dr. Schultz, my doctor, that I'd had, that had become very good friends, that I had prayed with before my treatment started. Don't tell me God didn't order that. I ain't anybody, pardon my English, I ain't nobody. I'm driving along going to see Kevin Smith, doing what we do. I want to see Kevin, try to encourage him. He's working toward getting out of prison and lots of things going on in his life, and trying to help he and Angie through a hard time along with several others that were participating in praying. There was many that had a part in that. I was a little part of it. But in driving along, God said, when you leave Kevin's, go to Indianapolis, because God knew what time a doctor was coming in, and that there was a sister to Lynn and was blessing Lynn there. And God does multiple things at once, and that there was a sister there waiting to meet a doctor that she was uneasy about and get some news that was very troubling. And I was able there to have prayer with her, talk with Dr. Schultz, and I believe Dr. Schultz participated in our prayer, if I remember right. And what an awesome moment that was, and God brought her through that. And honestly, I had forgotten that. And last week, we ran into your sister when we had our youth board meeting and lunch, and she was there at a table across from us, and she said, Pastor Roberts. And she walked over there and she said, I want to give you a hug. I remember the day, and I thought, man, that was a cool day. So I dug out the blessings book and I went back over to get the details. What am I saying to you? We're just little people. My pond's small here. I'm not a big time operator. I'm just a little guy. I'm saying to you, Tony Winters is a humble man that one morning woke up in the night and God wanted to send him a message to give to me. And I want to say to you that the wind blows where it wants to, and you hear the sound thereof, and you know not whence it cometh or whither it goeth. And so is everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. And God's Spirit wants people who are surrendered to Him. That's the key. It's not about talent. It's not about your name. It's not about your background. It's about coming to a place of surrender to where you say, Lord, I'm in the midst of a troubled world that's confusing, and it's chaotic, and it's a mess. But you want your hands and feet reaching out in this world, and I want to be part of that. Can you, does that stir something with you at all? Do you want to be, as we enter a horribly dark time, I want to be part of the hands and the feet of the Lord. Are you with me? I want to be part of the comfort that people need. I want to be part of the encouragement that people need. And the rewards of that are far greater than houses or riches or all the stuff that Americans have chased for years. The fulfillment that comes at the end of a day to know that God has used you in some simple way. And don't underestimate it. If you give a cup of cold water in my name, you will not lose your reward. You don't have to have a PhD. No, you can just buy a Coke for somebody, but the Holy Spirit knows that the reason you said, will you go on break, and the reason you bought the Coke is because you want to connect. He knows the reason, and that sipping a Coke together can be a powerful moment that conveys something. Ben, you just experienced that. Where are you? There you are. With your friend that had cancer. It's okay if I... Okay. Ben recently recommitted his heart to the Lord. I'm so proud of him. God used him. He had a customer at Brant's that God laid on his heart that was battling cancer. Ben, I don't normally do this, but I think people need to think, well, it's just the preachers that works for, you know. And Ben came in here and tears came up in his eyes, and he said, I'm going to do something, and I'm pretty nervous. And he said, will you pray for me? He said, I feel like I'm supposed to go see this customer because he's battling cancer, and I've never done anything like that. I'm going to pray with him. And I thought, wow, what a brave thing to do. And he did. And he went up, and afterwards I texted him and asked him how it went, and he said, well, I'm not sure. I felt pretty awkward and felt out of place. That's not uncommon either, by the way. I've had times God was using me tremendously, and if one of you asked me right then, I just said, well, I kind of felt like I had both boots in my mouth, to be honest with you. And I really said some dumb stuff. I just prayed that the other day, and I'm supposed to be good at this. I just said, Lord, I just said the dumbest thing. But when the Spirit of God's in the cold Coke, it's a powerful thing. You with me? That's what he's talking about the cup of cold water. And the friend died a few days later, and Ben told me that when he went to the funeral home, the family said that impacted them that day when he went. The wind of the Spirit. I want in on that, you guys. I want in on that. God doesn't need evangelists and preachers with PhDs. That's not what he needs. He needs humble servants that know what it's like to hurt, that know what it's like to feel like suicide, to know what it's like to be a drug addict, and to be able to reach out. We got a messed up world with troubled people, and I feel this. I'll try to keep myself settled here. But I feel this from my head to my feet. God has put us in this location to bring broken people, but he wants to empower them because they can minister and be led of the Spirit in incredible ways. Peggy, I've been amazed at the bank, at the people God brings in there while you're sitting there doing your job. And you have, I'm not glorifying anybody. I just want you to know, this ain't about preachers and me and Tony. It's amazing how God will use you, but the key is to be surrendered and to get on his wavelength. You know that there's 1,000 radio and TV stations in this room right now, and we can't hear any of them. But if we tune to them and get on their frequency, we'll pick them all up. Oh, there's one, there's one, there's one, there's one, there's one, there's one. And God wants people that say, hey, I'm tired of chasing things. Hey, I'm tired of building bank accounts. Hey, I'm tired of paying bills. I want to get connected, and I want to be directed by the wind of the Spirit. You talk about a faith builder. Oh, you'll quit questioning your salvation then. Because as God uses you, you get home and you think, I didn't even say the right things. But I know God used me. I absolutely know he used me. I saw him use me. That builds your faith. And then you'll go from the lion to the bear to the Goliaths. Because, hey, he was there the other time. Keep sticking your neck out. Keep stepping out of your comfort zone. Keep sticking your neck out. God wants to use you tremendously. I'm closing with this. It's through, I like this way of spelling through, don't mind that. It's through time with God, spiritual intimacy, that we had developed the ability to detect the wind, right down to the softest breezes. This gift is formed in quietness. No book can teach it, no book can bring it, no class can teach it. It's formed in quietness. I need to say that. God gave me that the other day, that way to say it. Let me read it again. It's through time with God. We've already discussed surrender. You have to answer the call initially and become part of God's family, and most of you have done that. Then there's the call to surrender, and many of you are in that process. But it's in time with God. Don't make it harder than it is. It's in time with God, spiritual intimacy, that we develop the ability to detect the wind. I read it better than I used to. Yeah. I look back now, and I can see times God was, and I was like, what was that? I don't want it to have to be a hurricane to get my attention. I want to pick up the gentle breezes of the Holy Spirit. I've said that over and over. Lord, I don't want you to have to bring a windstorm to get my attention. I want to pick up the breezes. But that ability is developed in your quiet time with God. And that's not easy to do in the rat race of America, but you can do it, especially some of you. Bless your heart and the family raising yours. But you can do it. May I challenge you and meet you right where you are there? We do what we want to do. If we want to go to Walmart the day before Christmas, we get there now, don't we? If we want to go to Walmart on December 24th, the icy roads, the weather forecast, none of that bothers us. We get there. We do what we want to do. And if you'll take some time and carve out, and I know that isn't easy, bless your heart, some of you in the family raising yours, it isn't easy, but if you'll carve out some time and say, God, you're the pearl of great price, you're the most important, I want to buy into this stuff. I want to buy into this stuff. And the wind of the Spirit will guide you. I could give you hundreds, literally, I'm not exaggerating, hundreds of examples today of leading of the wind of the Spirit. That's incredible stories. And many of you could too. I want to be sensitive to God's Spirit. And that's found through time with him and a place of surrender. Let's stand together for prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this time with this group that I love so much. And thank you for the privilege of serving as a shepherd to this flock. Lord, I ask you to raise up an army. I think of who was at the altar this morning, and some have felt just impressed to pray with. Lord, I believe we have people who are currently in a state of brokenness. And understandably, with all they've been through. But Lord, when I see him kneeling here at the altar, I see the potential in him of an incredibly powerful force in your kingdom, a wounded healer. Help us get a hold of that. Thank you for each one here. Erase and dissolve anything I may have said or done in the flesh that would not be of your Holy Spirit. But Lord, those things we've said, and we know we shared truth today, may those be planted deep within us, and may we have a desire to follow you and know you like never before. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, you're dismissed.